This podcast was first broadcast on Mix 92.6. Go to mix92.6.com to find more Environment Matters podcasts. And if you enjoy what we do, to find out how you can support the station, which is run entirely by volunteers. I hope you enjoy the podcast. Welcome to Environment Matters with me, Amanda Yorworth. Environment Matters is the show that brings you news on issues of sustainability and the environment from around Hertfordshire and from further afield. Now, the chances are that you might be like me on this one. You've heard of the Salvation Army as a Christian organisation, but one that's, well, active in communities. They run charity shops, that help homeless people, and they do all of this whilst wearing smart uniforms and keeping spirits up with rousing hymns accompanied by brass bands. Well, it turns out that whilst I had roughly the right idea, the Salvation Army are doing way more than I thought, particularly in the field of sustainability. Not just that, but their faith provides them with a thoughtful but powerful motivation to act more sustainably themselves, to campaign for a more sustainable world, and to support those who are already suffering from the harmful effects of climate change. To find out more, I spoke to the Salvation Army's Territorial Environmental Officer, Major Heather Poxon, and I started by asking her why sustainability is so important for an organisation like the Salvation Army that we'd think of as being there to help people.
Okay, well, I think in your question is the answer, because one of our main things is to make sure that we are serving people, helping people where they are, and that is globally. And so climate change is affecting people globally, especially the most vulnerable, in areas of drought and flood and fires. You know, we see it on the news and it's just increasing in intensity, and it's incredibly unjust. And countries like ourselves, UK, the US, for example, are hugely responsible for this change because of our carbon emissions. So our ethos is to love God and love people. If we love God, we love what he created, the world, and equally we love people. So we need to make sure that the root causes of some of the suffering and the injustice that we see is addressed. So that's why it's so important for us.
And why do you think it's better to base your motivation in theology rather than in what the scientists are telling us? Not that what they're telling us isn't important, but why do you think that the theology needs to be at the heart of your motivation?
I think the science is equally important. And I think I see science as something which needs to go hand in hand with theology. Science is what people are finding out as a fact. It's a discovery. We see it as a discovery of what God has already put in place. But the theology is linked to your first question. Why? Why should we do this? And particularly for people of faith who base their behavior and their relationships and their thinking and their study on theology, there needs to be some grounding and foundational understanding of why this is important in a faith-based community.
And I suppose this sort of explains why you've put care for creation as one of the Salvation Army's mission priorities, you know, put it on as high a level as that.
Yes, that's absolutely right. So we have five mission priorities. So this comes under the umbrella of loving God and loving people. One is to share the good news of Jesus. The other is to serve others without discrimination. So all of these priorities, they're all linked together. One doesn't stand out on its own. Nurture disciples of Jesus, care for creation, and seek justice. Again, you know, this justice issue is so affected by climate change, and we need to address it. We serve others without discrimination. So that's globally, that's whoever, that's the most vulnerable. And we need to make sure that we're aware of this and mitigating as much as we can the effects that are increasing also in our own country. I mean, the floods, the fires, the longer dry season, the hotter dry season, all of these things are affecting the most vulnerable the most. And we need to be there to serve and to help and to mitigate as well.
Now, In your role at the Salvation Army, you're tasked with care for creation. Can you tell us what that covers? It seems very broad.
The way I see it is we have two main sections of this. One is the hardware. So this covers all the carbon from our buildings, from our fleet vehicles, from our procurement, from, you know, the physical being of the Salvation Army on the ground. How can we reduce that? So we have a net zero target for 2040, and that includes all three scopes. So including the procurement, which is, for example, when we buy things, when we procure things, what is that company's net zero strategy? You know, what are their commitment to mitigating climate change? So that's the hardware. My responsibility is the hearts. So it's hardware and hearts. So I concentrate on the teaching, the theology, the workshops, the radio interviews, the articles. It's working with people to help them to understand why this is such an important issue that has to change our behavior. And the way I address this is in three different directions. So the first one is campaigning. So for example, we were represented at the march in London, Restore Nature Now March, raising our voices. This is an important issue. The second area is community. And we're promoting eco-church and eco-congregations. So really encouraging our congregations to think about our land, our buildings, the way we interact with our community. You know, are we involved in community vegetable gardens, for example, or repair workshops, that kind of thing. And then our conduct. So campaign, community, and conduct. How are we, our own lifestyles, if we don't behave in such a way that is reducing our own carbon and caring for creation, caring for nature, then we can't tell anybody else what to do. And none of us have got it perfect. You know, we're all on this journey and we're all trying. So it's about really gathering people to walk with us on the journey. So campaign, community, and conduct.
So I suppose with the conduct must come this concept that you have of treading softly, which yes. Sounds fantastic. Can you tell us about treading softly?
Well, William Yeats's poem, he wrote, "Had I the heaven's embroidered cloths, enwrought with golden and silver light, the blue and the dim and the dark cloths of night and light and the half light, I would spread the cloths under your feet. But I, being poor, have only my dreams. I have spread my dreams under your feet. Tread softly, because you tread on my dreams." And I think that as we walk, our lifestyle, our behavior, our treading will tread on people's dreams. This is where the justice comes in. How I walk, if I can walk softly, then I can reduce the injustice that climate change brings. So that's why we've got a strapline of treading softly.
Do you know, I love that poem. It's incredibly powerful, isn't it? And just when you think about, as you say, treading on other people's dreams, you think, would it be like if somebody's treading on your dreams? All of a sudden, it does put things into a very different context, doesn't it? Turns you around, makes you think about the problem of environmental damage and climate change in a very different way. Now, you did speak there about a target for carbon reductions for the Salvation Army, but you've previously said that you're a little bit wary of targets. Can you explain why that is?
I think a target is necessary. That's fine. We need to have a target in order to have somewhere to go and then to have a pathway to get there. My wariness with targets is that we think, oh, well, 2040 is a long time. I won't need to do anything just yet. I can kick the can down the road. And that's what I'm wary about, because the urgency is now. We're already seeing the effects of climate change here. And unfortunately, it feels like now that we are feeling it, people are starting to make changes or be aware of it or wake up to the need to make changes. Because we've seen on the news for decades now the effects of climate change in other parts of the world, and we haven't done anything because we're okay. you know, it doesn't affect me. But I've learned in this job that, for example, in COVID, if I or my family were affected, I would change my behavior. Or the energy crisis we had a couple of years ago, when I knew my bills were going to be high, I reduced my heating or my cooking. I changed my behavior because it affected me. Now that we are being affected, I get the sense that people are wanting to know what to do, which is a good thing. It's sad that it's taken this long, but we are moving now. But the target issue is, yeah, let's act now, because we won't reach that target unless we act now. And we all need to act now. We can't leave it to the government. We can't leave it to technology. Each of us needs to act now and make some drastic changes.
Yes, indeed. And actually, it should be about making the changes as soon as we can do, whether or not there's a target involved. You know, the target should be as soon as possible, but perhaps the target that you set is the absolute deadline for the latest point at which it should happen.
Exactly, yes. So in our target, we've split it into 3-year sections. And then those 3 years, we split into 1-year sections. So we're saying this year, this is where we need to be on that target. And this is what we need to do as an organisation and individually.
Excellent. Well, it sounds like there's no kicking the can down the road for the Salvation Army on this issue. Now, as you said, this is a huge task, the KEF creation, but you have a network of environmental champions to help you in your quest. Can you just tell us a little bit about them?
Yes, this is so exciting. I love it. And I feel that this is very much my team. So there's over 200 now of these champions across the UK and Ireland. Are all connected on a WhatsApp group. And this WhatsApp group is almost daily chatting, giving ideas, asking questions. So people around the country who are trying to make a difference where they are not feeling quite so lonely because they're all connected to this network. And we meet once a quarter online and we have a speaker. We learn a little bit about the update within the Salvation Army. You know, where are we on the journey? Or, for example, the next meeting we're having is all about how we engage people who are maybe not that interested. How do we help people onto the journey without them feeling cajoled or reluctant? You know, how do we do that? And I think everybody's got some kind of experience that they can add into that meeting. So it's very much a network of encouragement. It's grassroots. It's looking at some of the basic things that they're dealing with, where they are.
Indeed. Well, that sounds like a really helpful way of increasing the effect of what you're doing and supporting each other. And as you say, everybody's got ideas and good ideas are best shared, aren't they? So as you say, the Salvation Army in this area isn't just doing things, but you're also advocating for people as well, for people who are affected by environmental degradation, for example. Do you have any examples of the kind of thing that you've done there, either in this country or abroad?
Well, in this country, we are now joining in the calls to the government to make sure that this is part of their policy, that they step up and really make a difference as far as oil drilling is concerned, the fossil fuel use, all of that. But abroad as well. So the Salvation Army is currently in over 130 countries around the world. And many of those countries are feeling the effects of climate change. So financially, we're supporting and training our partners in places like Bangladesh and Pakistan and different parts of Africa, encouraging conservation agriculture, looking at ways of improving water sources, which are becoming more and more scarce as the dry seasons increase. So we're supporting that kind of work abroad. In Bangladesh, for example, we had a project, I think it's still running, where we were teaching children how to swim. Because when the floods come, one of the biggest casualties is children who are drowning. So it's such a simple project, teaching the little ones how to swim and survive. In the Democratic Republic of Congo, we are encouraging biodiversity by reintroducing edible caterpillars into an area where, because of the droughts, the caterpillars have died. They've gone. There are no trees. There is nothing for the caterpillars to feed on. And people had caterpillars as a source of protein. So it's, you know, all manner of different projects which are supporting people to really mitigate and survive what's coming and what is already there.
Heather, do you know, that sounds fascinating. I would never have thought that the Salvation Army would have been associated with teaching people to swim or cultivating caterpillars. So that's been really interesting. Thank you so much for telling us about that.
It's a pleasure. Thank you. I love talking about it. So thank you for inviting me.
I was talking there to Major Heather Poxon, Territorial Environmental Officer at the Salvation Army. And if you'd like to take another look at that W.B. Yeats poem that Heather read to us, then I'll pop a link into the notes that go with the podcast of this show and that you'll find on the podcast page of mix926.com. So often the way, isn't it, that a well-crafted artistic piece, whether it's a picture or a poem or a song, can encapsulate so much more than a really logical explanation of an issue and provide us with a new perspective that we previously hadn't thought of. And I'll also share with you just one more thing that Heather said to me. Now, she thought that whilst there was obviously much conflict and disagreement between people of different faiths across the globe, Heather really felt that the environment was one area on which most religions really agreed, and that she found it was a powerful way of bringing together people of different religions. And if you do belong to a different religion and would like to share with us how your religion's teachings informs your thoughts and actions around the environment, sustainability and nature, then I'd love to hear from you. Via email, I'm on amanda.yorworth@mix926.com, or look for Environment Matters on Mix 92.6 on X and on Facebook. I'll be with you at the same time next week, but until then, thank you for listening.